bit more specific, I want to turn now to focus on Sujer Young, who just received in January 4 years in prison. He's part of this New Citizens movement. Can you describe what that movement is a little bit, and where did it emerge, and what its platform is?
So the New Citizen movement, it emerged in 2012, around May 2012, and I think that it, of course, can be seen as, in some ways, a response to the problems that we have just been discussing, the grievances, also the problem of repression of civil society. In some ways, of course, it's also changing, sort of due to changes that that have come about because of new communication technologies, the social media, and so on and so forth, and that have enabled a new form of activism to emerge, and not only in China but also in other parts of the world. You know, think of the various Occupy movements, and you know, the Arab Spring, and so on and so forth. So that's, I think, sort of one of the reasons why the New Citizen movement emerged. Now, obviously, it focuses on the idea of the citizen, and when you look at what Xu Zhiyong in particular has said, has provided as an analysis of citizen, the concept of the citizen. You can see that it's a very strong, richly normative political conception of the citizen, the citoyen of sort of 18th century Europe, the notion of a person, the individual who has rights against the state. And I think that looking at the history of the human rights movement that we just discussed, you could perhaps also say that Xu Zhiyong had this idea that, having tried for 10 years to introduce beneficial changes in China through case-by-case legal advocacy, legal rights advocacy, sort of comes to the conclusion around 2011, 2012, that now a new method of advocacy has to be tried, that rights advocacy in a way has to move beyond individual, working on individual cases, and become more issue focused and more explicitly political. So how do you do that in the context of a political system that very clearly does not allow a political opposition? Like in other places in the world, the answer that seems to be emerging in China right now, as I see it, is to adopt forms of organization that are significantly different from what we've seen before. And in Cheng Biao, another, of course, very important scholar and rights advocate, has used Claire Shirky's idea of organizing without organization to describe what's going on. The idea is basically that you could achieve a high degree of coordination, of initiation of various types of actions, civil society actions, without having a visible traditional organizational structure. And it's also this idea that in a new civil society, historic political movement of this kind, you have to be very open. So you have to be the very opposite of what characterizes, for instance, the rise of the Chinese Communist Party from its sort of underground years to sort of this moment when it manages to control power. And I mean, an example for that would, for instance, be the so-called Guminjuchan, the citizen meals that were organized by the New Citizen Movement. The idea was really that you would somehow get people sort of distribute information about venue and time and so on online, and in some of the cases, some of the Guminjuchan, the citizen meals that I've observed, was possible for people who simply had come across this information online to come along and join such a meal. So it was entirely open towards anyone who wanted to show up. And that's remarkable in the context of the system that, as you just said a while ago, is so scrutinizes everybody so much and has so much surveillance. But the idea really was that this sort of openness represented a new form of political power that could be used to initiate some sort of change. And along with that, of course, goes the idea that the activism of the New Citizen Movement must be non-violent.
Right. So, I mean, just in terms of numbers, like, what are we looking at in terms of, I mean, how big would you estimate the movement is, if you can even do that? And
Well, I suppose, I mean, on the numbers, I have to say, I don't know. Of course, we have asked those questions in various settings. There's no very clear answer. Perhaps one could say that in 2013 we had, let's say, in a number of, say, around 30 or so different Chinese cities, you had a total of perhaps a couple of hundred people who were sort of centrally involved and initiating and organizing these meals. And by the way, the idea was basically that you would have a meal being held at the same time in different locations all over China, potentially. And so you had these 30 cities, you had a couple of hundred people. Perhaps that means a few thousand people who would be willing, you know, to show up for one or two or more of those, who would be in some ways supporting the idea of the New Citizen Movement. Perhaps it would be good if we had access to, I have not, the list of people signing the so-called 公民承诺, the sort of citizens' pledge that was issued in 2010, and was a kind of appeal to citizens from all walks of life to essentially pledge to being a good citizen using this political idea that the Xu Zhiyong stands for and others stand for. Something else perhaps to consider would be the level of support that Gongmeng, the organization co-founded by Xu Zhiyong, got for its activism on equal educational rights for migrant worker children. And as I recall, that at the time it was said that in Beijing they would be able to essentially reach tens of thousands of migrant worker parents. And certainly they were thinking big, I suppose. They were thinking that they could reach out to potentially anyone. And also, if you look at the composition of those citizen meals, it wasn't, of course, just lawyers. It was also not just people, you know, just scholars, lawyers, people with a legal education background or that sort of background, but it was also people who were petitioners and sort of people who just took an interest in what was going on there.
You raised the issue of migrant education for migrant children as one of the issues which would require some kind of change to the hukou system. And some of the other things that I think the New Citizens Movement advocates, like more transparency of Chinese officials and their assets. These are, in fact, that in the past year, reforms that the Chinese government has stated that they're looking to examine or to adopt. So it seems like the Chinese government is sort of listening to the New Citizens Movement, or at least their complaints. But then how do you mesh that with the fact that they're arresting the advocates of that movement for disturbing public order? I mean, what gives here?
I'm not so sure about that analysis. I think that when you look at what the New Citizen Movement has advocated, of course you have some similarity with certain measures, reform policies announced by the Chinese government. But I don't think that that is by itself evidence that the government is following suggestions from the New Citizen Movement. I mean, for one thing, of course, these reform ideas were around before, quite long before the New Citizen Movement even emerged. But, I mean, perhaps more important is that you could also see this as sort of the other way around. You could, and this is how it was analyzed by people involved in the various movements currently that you currently have in China. People were saying, well, in some ways, the New Citizen Movement has chosen to talk about causes that the government had already said it had adopted, and that might be a way of being coming across as a little bit less provocative than if you do what very clearly and visibly was done, especially in the south of China, by various movements sort of around Guo Feixiong, another very important rights advocate, of course, who is based in Guangzhou. And there, what you had there was really the use of much more aspiring and much more abstract political slogans, constitutional government, democracy, human rights, in those words. And so you had this very interesting discussion within these smaller sub-movements, if you like, these various groups within the human rights movement. And some people who were critical of the New Citizen Movement were saying was that essentially it was not a good strategy to choose government slogans. I remember one person saying basically you shouldn't think that the government is that stupid. Those were his words. You shouldn't think the government is that stupid that just because you shout the government slogans, they won't come and they won't come after you. They're not going to let you off just because you shout the identical, you use identical slogans and campaign causes. The reason for that being, of course, that as long as you make political demands of any kind, they will assume that you want a share of the political power, and that's what the government won't accept. So from that perspective, what they were seeing was an attempt to be a little bit less provocative by joining, by using campaign causes that were a bit similar to the government, but that strategy essentially not really working. And I think that, there's a whole lot more to say about the differences, of course, between what the New Citizen Movement and other movements were calling for and what the government has so far delivered, for instance, when it comes to anti-corruption and so on.
Right, right. So you wouldn't say that the government is co-opting the movement?
No, I don't think so.